Today I'll be speaking on something that the Lord placed on my heart, that we should, at the end of the day, be able to reflect on ourselves and look at where are we going to. What do we want? What's the motivation? What's the motivation? We spoke about following up to go to know the Lord. We spoke about beholding God during the prayer. This is very, very key. You know, we all came out from, should I say, the symbolic systems for diverse reasons. But I was telling someone some time ago, if your priority, your goal is not aligned right, if you don't know what you're going to, or you don't know the path you're going to, the vision itself which you have come to establish is Christ, being changed into Christ. If you don't know what you're expecting, at a certain point you suffer burnout. It's very important because it's very easy to just come, no need to be a new thing. We're very excited and stuff like that. But we must know what we are falling after. Individually, we must have that conviction. If not, at a certain point, we won't. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Today, I'll just be speaking to us quickly on the path. Or if you can call it the path of the cross.
Amen.
The path of the cross. So if you could just open to Hebrews 12, that was the scripture the Lord placed in my heart on us. Are we here? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the first thing we can see is that there's a race to run. There's a race to run. And I believe when you see a race, there's a track, right? There's a path. Unlike the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. They just knew they were going to a promised land. But they did not know what to expect on this path. They did not know what they were going to meet up. That's why they, at a certain point, the Bible will say they became weary in their souls and they started to murmur. But with Christ, we have a pattern. We have a way. I remember we were speaking about the path of the cross. He says, let us run with patience this race that has been set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured what? The cross. The cross. He endured the cross. Brethren, I want to tell you something, that this path we have chosen to take, it's not a popular path.
That's it.
It is not a popular path. It is not just because of numbers, but you must understand what you are involved in. We spoke about reaching fullness when we were praying. All these things are a reality. We must come to grasp with the things we've spoken about. We've spoken about things about the first fruits, first resurrection. All these things are a reality. They are not just things of logic, knowledge. They are a reality. If the Lord can change 25%, of any part of your character, it can change 100% of it. Mm-hmm. So that is it. All these things are a reality. And the thing about a path is that it changes a man. It changes a man. Every path that one walks on in this life changes a man. And there is a demand on this path. There are two things that I believe what I'll be speaking about today will be bordering on. What is expected of us on this path, and what should we expect? Paul will say something, say, unless a man strive lawfully, he will not receive a crown, right? I've forgotten how he put it, but something like that. That means you could be on the path, but there's a lifestyle, there's a way, there are things that are expected of you. There are rules on it. I don't know if anybody does racing here, but there are rules on a racing track that when you are running, you cannot say if you are running on someone, you're running on your own track, you now leap to the other person to jerk him off, that kind of thing, or to push him off rather. So there are rules to walk on this path. And that's what we've been called to do. It's a privilege to be on this path, number one, but it is not a popular path. Praise the name of God. Yeah. So you see something that he endured the cross, despising the shame, that he set down, and now he set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That means he had a hope, and at the end, there was glory after everything. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Can we open to Matthew? Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. And I'll just read it. Enter into the straight gates, for wide is the gate, and broad is that way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go on thereafter. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto what?
Life.
And few there be that was find it. Now we can look at this in the generic perspective of salvation, but there's also a view of a price. A journey with God. Now, the path of the cross is not the path where every believer takes. There's a path where you can take, and at the end of the day, that average believer level, but the path of the cross is the path of glory. It is the path of glory.
Amen.
If you understand that, you will treasure what you've been called onto. It is the cross is the beginning of our salvation. Like we will see today, the cross is the beginning, and it is the criterion to follow that will take us to the end of the journey. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see something that this is a narrow gate. At a certain point in time, we all received that call that Christ gave to his disciples, which was, follow me. Some people received the call, they followed. Some people received, they didn't follow. Some followed to a certain way. And just like it was in the scriptures. But when the Lord says, follow me, that means he's telling you to follow me to the place I'm going through. Now, if you don't follow, it does not mean you won't have salvation. No. He told the same guy, what's his name? The rich guy. Mm-hmm. He said, go and sell all your riches and what? Follow me. So congrats, first of all, you have found the path, which is very, very good. But you have to understand what this path is leading you to. Remember, there are things that are expected of you in this path. And there are things you should expect, because it's not a smooth path. It's not a popular part. Praise the name of God.
Hallelujah.
So, when Christ says follow, there's a path. There's something Peter said, I just remember. He said something. He said, we have left all to follow you, Master. I believe that is in Matthew 19. Can someone read that, please? Matthew 19. Alright. If someone can just read that quickly.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, ye have forsaken all and followed thee.
Mm-hmm.
What shall we have therefore?
Can you continue, please?
And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes.
Judging the 12 tribes. So you see, the path leads you to the throne. It's not a path everybody follows. There was a distinction of those who go their normal way.
Oh, yes.
And there's a distinction of those who follow this path. And what does it say? They will sit with him on the throne, judging. Remember, all these things are reality. I believe at this point in time, we should have at least a good grasp of the first fruits, at least, the first resurrection, things like that. And these things are a reality. And there's something Paul said in first, you see, it's Ephesians 4. He jumped at me one morning like that. It was, I think, he said, walk worthy of the vocation which you have been called. Walk worthy of the vocation. What is a vocation?
A call.
A call. A vocation is like a career. If someone is doing medicine, it's expected at least in a day, he should study minimum 5 hours. That kind of thing. So, in that sense, he's walking worthy. That means you can be on a path and not be walking worthy of that path. That means there's a worthy walk of it. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, brethren, we must walk worthy. I wasn't expecting to share this today, but I wrote some things down of certain expectations of ourselves on this path. Number one, we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. Not just pilgrims with regards to our salvation, walking this earth, no? But we are living the lifestyles of pilgrims. And the path of a pilgrim is one that usually is treaded by foot. And we have to learn things for himself. Nobody will come and learn or teach you certain things. Or should I say, come and do certain things for you on this path? No. This is a path that will change. Remember, the path will, it will change you. It will nurture you. If you are walking through a path where there are beasts, you will learn to fight. On this path, you will learn warfare. You will learn warfare. You have to learn warfare. Nobody will come and pray for you at night. It will not happen. In fact, let me say something. The Lord will take some of you here to some of the things you're going through actually are certain exercises to really shape you spiritually. So I'll continue. You will learn warfare. And number two, you will learn discipline on this part. Number three, you will know how to feed.
How to?
Feed. You will learn how to. If you are on a path, a wilderness path, and you see a camel that is dead, you know the way they just find all these things on the road, all these carcass that you can just stop. Do you just take the one you need for that time and just eat it, just cook it and move it? No, you will learn how to feed. What does that mean? You will learn how to utilize the word of God. You will learn how to utilize the word of God. Because right now, I want to tell you something. You are walking on a path singularly. You are walking on a path with you and God, you know. Now you are walking corporately with other people. That's good. But on this path, you are walking with God. The beauty about coming out of the systems, which sometimes we come out and we start to even focus too much on things we should not focus. The Lord has brought you out to help you. It is a privilege. He has taught you how to open. In fact, when you come out, you are exposed to the centered hand of God on you so that you can learn directly. So we have to focus on the right things. This part should change your life. If you are on this path, there should be a change in your life. There should be something. It's easy to say a message, but messages are best preached when life comes first.
Amen.
It is easy to, there should be a change. We cannot be saying certain things and it's not backed up by what we the way we live. So there should be a change, which is part of certain things you know that's placed on our hands. Like we said earlier, one of the things expected of us is to know how to feed. And what does that mean? The word of God will judge us in this place. It will expose you, and it is meant to work on you. In this place, it's not somewhere we can just come and, because we can come here for different motivations. But remember something, you are here for a reason. You should be able to set your life at a certain point and know, where am I? Where am I? What changes? If not, you will get to a point in this journey and you will be tired. What am I looking for? How have I accustomed to this work? How has this work affected me? Remember, you have not come out of the system to be part of Winnipeg House Fellowship. You have not. If you have that mentality, you are already missing it. You have not come out of the systems to be out part of Winnipeg House Fellowship. You have come out to be under the hand of God.
Glory.
The Lord can take you anywhere. Can come to get you any place in Winnipeg, Canada, anywhere. But right now, you are just part of a local body that is called the body of Christ.
Amen.
You must have that ingrained in your heart. Nobody's pastor here. Nobody has time for that. But you have to just settle that in your heart that I'm under the hand of God. In that case, I have to be giving to whatever God is giving me to utilize those things. So those are the things. Those are part of the things that God expects of us. The body that was placed on is that there has to be a change.
Amen.
There has to be a change in our lifestyle. For growth in grace to come, the Lord teaches. And whenever there is a need to come up, certain things will drop off in our life. That's spiritual obedience. That's one of the things we'll be looking at when we go forward. But we look at this part. Like we read earlier, say it takes us to the throne. And it's a narrow path. Not many people walk this path. It's the path of the cross.
Hallelujah.
What can we expect on this path? It is very good. Jesus said something. The Lord said something. He said, when a man wants to build a house, what will he do?
You count the cost.
If it is not clear of what you're going to experience, that's why the Israelites, they had a different map. Because they just thought they would just leave and go straight up. Land of milk and honey. But there were certain things that were meant to try them. And those things were meant to shape them. But with Christ, we're going to see a pattern, which we are supposed to look at, and look at this as a reality of what we can expect on this path individually. Individually. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you can open to Luke 9. Can someone start? Okay, I'll just read from verse 20. Behold, I said to them, but who say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, Christ, the Christ of God. And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised up on the third day. And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and do what?
Follow me.
For whoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will do what?
Save it.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this is a very, very popular verse. But by right, this is the verse the Christian, the believer, should have in his heart. The one who really wants to walk the path to Christ. Now, the first point, or the first expectation, which those who are meant to follow Christ are meant to walk to, is to do what? Deny yourself. I think that's in verse 3. Say, if anyone will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, what does it mean to deny yourself? Denying yourself is not something you learn once. The Bible says he is a teacher. He has come to teach men to deny ungodliness. That means he will teach you righteousness. He will teach you. But once you have come to that point, when you say, Lord, I want to follow this scripture, this criteria. I want to learn it. Children spoke last week, I believe, he mentioned certain things with relation to denying yourselves at this point in time. It is very needed. It's time to ascend out of the flesh, my people. Mm-hmm. It is that time. There's a lot happening, especially with this house. There's a point the Lord wants us to come to. Individually in our lives, there are certain things we need to drop so that we can step up to the next level. It is not just about the things we are doing physically, but there are certain things we need to address.
Hallelujah.
So that we can step up. And we will get there.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. He said we should deny ourselves. What does it mean? Your pleasures, your desires, to lay it all down, your will, for the will of God. And the next thing he says, take up your cross daily and do what? Follow me. That means without taking up the cross, you can't follow. The cross, like he said, it is the suffering, the burden of Christ. Only one man carried the cross. But at the end of the day, at this point, what was he telling them? He had not dared that. He said, take up your cross. And he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says the next thing, take my yoke and do it upon me. If you know what a yoke is, we know these animals, these bull animals that know what I'm talking about, that walk in farms. There are two, and there's the yoke which is laid upon two of them, and they walk in the same line. So what the Lord is telling you to take up your own cross, his own suffering, his own agenda, which the church has left behind. The agenda of the kingdom of God should attract certain things from the world, should attract certain oppositions from the world. So when the world and the church are now doing pali-pali, then you know that there's a problem in that agenda.
Yeah.
It has left the agenda. Because every light, I believe the Lord has been leading us in a certain way towards the topics of the cross.
Hallelujah.
I think it was some weeks before the conference, we're speaking about the sufferings of the cross. And 2 weeks ago, we're talking about every light you get, we attract certain attacks. And we see that today. Now, for you to understand this aspect of taking up the yoke of Christ, there are certain things that come with it, which I think you should take in and expect. And for us to understand that, we have to go to the statement in verse 22, which we'll spend some time. It says, the Son of Man must do what?
Must
suffer many things. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, who is this Son of Man he's talking about? It's Jesus, right? It's Jesus, of course. It's Jesus. But at the same time, it's the pattern Son. And all those who walk after him will follow that same thing. Because he was waiting for the 12. The Son of Man must. It did not say will. It is a must. That means there's an expectation on this part. What are these sufferings? Are they sufferings of sicknesses, poverty?
No.
Of course not. They are sufferings of purification. They are sufferings that will change you, that will mold you into what, because the natural man cannot receive what God wants to give him. Even we're talking about the first fruit. People use the word man child, yeah, and then man child. Those who will arise, you know, there's this kind of caliber, those who will arise in that light, and who have been totally walked on. They will have nothing of their own. So you must expect something on this part. What should we see? He says the Son of Man. Ezekiel was called what? Say, Son of Man, arise and do what? So you are the Son of Man. If you are on this part, you are the Son of Man.
Amen.
You are the Son of Man. So you must expect to suffer many things. Now to understand the sufferings of Christ, I believe we have to look at the baptisms, but in a very, very light manner. Now we help ourselves, your God will help me. I did not plan this today.
The chalk is there.
Where?
Under this.
Okay. So we know how many baptisms. Number one, baptism of Marka will have been better, shall we?
Holy Spirit.
And what was the third one?
Fire.
Now
there's a baptism of repentance.
The baptism of repentance. Good. It will fall on that year as well. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit.
It's the same as the baptism of water.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, actually. Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. That makes more sense. But okay, I don't want to defeat. But if we look at something, the Lord said something in, I think he spoke to James and John when they came to him. He said, are you willing to take up the cup or to drink of the cup and drink it up? And to be baptized of what? The baptism. And that means there's a baptism of sufferings. If you notice the statement John said, John made a statement about Christ. He said, we baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But when Christ was speaking about this in Acts 1, verse 8, he said, we baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Spirit, why the Holy Spirit brings power? There's a purification that should come about by this. Now the sufferings, if we want to look at them, we just, by the grace of God, because we are talking about what you should expect on this path. It's very easy, I want to say, I was talking with a sister about this, and it's very easy to talk about this from a knowledge perspective and all that, but you have to look at the reality of what to expect and walk in that light. So Paul said, the Lord said to his disciples that, I've told you these things so that what you will not be what, offended. That when they start to happen, you will not be offended, basically. So there's the sufferings which we know of, the popular one of persecution and stuff like that, which Christ went through, which is all the sufferings of the cross. And there's the sufferings of obedience. which I want to spend a little time on in regards to the house. Obedience to the word. We can say the sufferings of the gospel and sufferings for the change of the gospel. The Bible says something that Christ, though he were a son, he did what? He led obedience through suffering. Now, on this path we are on, it is impossible to reap the fruits of whatever God has planned for us without obedience. So the Lord will take us through certain dealings. Remember, this is just one aspect of sufferings. He will take us through certain dealings that will let that. I came to a point, I think it was in 2016, I told Chidera, guy, this year I will not disobey God. Because in the previous year, I saw some things. The Lord hit me well. Why? Because of certain things I had done. Now, with regards to learning obedience, why is obedience needed for us to come into that which the Lord wants us to come to? You see your life, you know in your heart there are certain things that have come across, that have been taught, that you know, okay, the Lord wants me to change, but we're just lax about it. The Lord wants it to be addressed, but there's this laxation about it. But actually, without addressing that, you can't step up into the next phase of your spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if you be willing and do not much, obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. That's why the Lord works out obedience in us. That if you be willing and obedient. Remember, you cannot teach yourself obedience. Paul said, I have learned. Did he learn it himself? Say, I have learned to know when to obey, to abound, things like that. But he didn't learn it himself. That means there was a teacher. And if you look at Paul's life, in fact, the first thing the Lord said to Ananias when he called him was that, say, go and meet Paul. I will show him the many things which he will suffer. So please, there is a sufferings of obedience, which, first of all, even aligns with self-denial. There are certain things we will start to learn to deny ourselves of, which will cause us to suffer in the flesh. But Peter says something, say, he that suffereth in the flesh ceaseth from sin, something like that. There are certain things we have to learn to deny ourselves of. We have to pray that Lord help us to deny ourselves of. Because without dropping all those things behind, we can't really step forward. That is something the Lord placed on us, with regards, especially, not just with regards to suffering in general, especially for this house. There are certain things, you will go here today, they will point out that in the Holy Spirit will convict you. You will go here today, even when you open your Bible, you're studying, the Lord is speaking to you about this. It has to be left behind. That's why I think Hebrews says that we should drop the weights. Some of these things are not sins, by the way. Some of these things are just things that Paul said when I was a child, I thought like a child. There are certain things that are still childish in our life. So the Lord wants to take us to a higher perspective of things. So in that light, we must obey. One of the things that is expected of us in this part is faith and obedience. You must be able to be convinced of what you have been told. You must be convinced of what you are going after. The whole, say, what they call it. Say, the children of Israel could not come into rest because of what? Unbelief. So you must be convinced that this thing is true. You cannot, because you can just come every time and just do things here and there. And just speak some big things and go home. Eli say the consecration of the man child, that kind of thing. But yeah, these things are a reality. Like I said, see, if God can work out a little change in your life, it can happen to the fullest. That is the reason for this part of the world. That is the reason. So there's a suffering of obedience. That obedience is key. Remember, The flesh is at enmity with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it has to learn obedience to God. So if I say it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. It has to learn it. There are certain areas of our lives that the Lord is, you know in your heart that this thing is pulling me back. How do I address it? Chidera was talking about this time being a time of strong prayers with certain things so that we can ascend into certain areas of our life. In this path, there has to be a steady progression. There has to be a steady progression. We have received words that have come to us from many ministrations, but these words should affect our lives. There should be a change. We cannot just take these words and go home. And Winnipeg has been blessed. Winnipeg has been blessed with food. May we not be stiff-necked people.
Amen.
Please, let us take into consideration what the Lord has given us and prayerfully look towards these things. Because in this part, if you are not progressing, there's no need to forget, look at yourself. Look at yourself, assess yourself. Chidera said something, I said there's a Babylon within. Assess yourself. Because sometimes you can be so carried away with certain kind of things. We want to shout it. But there's a light that should come out of you. And these things will be learned by obedience. The things which God is telling you to deal with. James will say this, that he that looks in the perfect law of liberty and does what obeys the things there, blessed shall he be. The word is prosperous, progressive will he be. He will move. That means when you, in fact, it won't take you to the baptisms again because it's talking about the brazen lava. Say when you look at it, say when you go to the word of God, it will reflect you, right? Are we following?
Yes.
It says it will show you your picture. In other words, it will show you what is there, what needs to be worked on. And you will see yourself, you will see your reflection on it. Say he that hears the word of God and does not do it is like one that deceives himself. That means we can be here and we are deceiving ourselves. We can be on the path and we are not walking worthy of this path. I'll use myself as an example. God is still helping me. I remember these things is not something you learn, say, once, you just learn it once. You learn it as you give diligence to the help of God. And you set your heart towards it.
Glory.
I remember when the Lord started dealing with me on the way I eat. Fasted life. It's not something you can brag about, or it's not something you can say, I had the strength to do it. At first I started. I did not know how to do this thing. Say, God, help me. Help me. Over time, I started to see, okay, God, my stomach, I could not even take a good amount of food. If not, I won't sleep well at night. The Lord was helping me to shape the way, that this is an example, the way I eat. And more to be more giving diligence, to give more diligence rather to spiritual food rather than physical. And I saw, because whenever I was telling one of my brothers, this guy even said it last week, that in this time, it's time to give diligence to more spiritual things. And at a certain point, certain things will come in your life when the Lord will say, oh, yeah, leave this pattern of doing things behind. Have you tried to win a child of milk before? You will fight. So the Lord started to deal with me on that, and it was not easy. But when I started to give diligence and try to trust the Lord, some days I would just give me strength. I would not just be really hungry like that. In fact, my stomach cannot even take much food again. I don't know how. That kind of thing. Now it's a testimony. It's not like I fulfill that every day. No. But the thing is that aspect of your life, you have to give diligence to it. That's one part of suffering, and it is not a smooth thing. Now you have to look at yourself and say, what has the Lord told you to work on?
Hallelujah.
What has the Lord taught me to walk on? In fact, that thing that he has told you to walk on is the threshold that must be hit before you can ascend. That thing he has told you to walk on is the threshold. It is the threshold. Whatever you have looked at in your life, and you say, this thing the Lord has convicted me, he has helped me, he has told me to drop it behind. Remember, there are ways, they are not necessarily sin. We're speaking about something in our meeting some time ago, and we said, something that Sola may be doing that is normal for her, you would just find restraint to do that thing. It's not a sin. Why? Because not everything is expedient, spiritually beneficial for you. So part of the sufferings is the learning of obedience, and you cannot learn it by your own self. Now let's go back to the sufferings, which is the popular one, which is something we should all expect in this part, which is tied to the next statement. It says, he must suffer many things, and he will be rejected of the elders and the chief priests, and what? And the scribes. Brethren, on this part, you suffer persecution.
Amen.
Amen, right? It's easy to sell these things until you walk at superstore and someone you know before, all of a sudden just bones and look at you like this front his face. I can say, I mean this thing already. No, you understand? But once you have set your heart, Christ said something. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you.
Yes.
Every light that has come in this world at a certain point in time was attacked. The big names you are hearing that changed the whole look of the gospel from the Smith, Jesus was all of them. They were called heretics.
Yes.
Let's not even go far. Jesus was called what?
Beelzebub.
He was called Satan. So you must, in this part, you must expect it. You must expect it to happen. And you must see, so that when they start to happen, you don't start to worry and say, oh God, what have I slept in? I want to please somebody. If you are liaising with people trying to, you don't know what you are chasing. It's not going to be easy, that's the truth. But one thing about persecutions, which the Lord has made you to understand, that won't take us off, but it draws you, when you are in that period, the Lord can pull you to himself in a very, very unique way. If you want to go to the meal offerings, and talk of the meal offerings, right? Offering of friendship.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go there. But when you are in certain things, remember, these are some things we should expect. So we are speaking from it rather from a prophetic view. Maybe we can speak to some of our uncles who have experienced certain things like that, and they will give us stories and things like that. But it is a fact, it is something you must expect. And I believe the Lord is taking this work to the next phase.
Mm-hmm.
Times. He's taking it to the next phase. So you must expect it. When someone comes to the road and looks at you and calls you false prophet, don't. The Bible says Christ did not revive, or what they call it, even though he was revived after stuff. So that is one thing you should. In fact, the persecution you will even receive, like he said here, say it will be hated. How do you put it? Say it will be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. What does that tell you?
Powerful
juggernauts, the systems. He will be hated, he will be rejected. Christ was rejected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples, they were rejected as well. Me, I know for my own self, there are certain things that have crossed my mind. I'm not the most, carefree guy when it comes to certain things. But it's something that just takes my mind on, that these things will happen. Even without this kind of things the Lord has said to me, but that's personal. But it's something you have to expect in this part. Persecution. Because if you don't expect it, and when they start to happen, you will shake. I'm not talking about someone, it will shake you. You have to just edge your heart. Edge your heart concerning this. And remember, it is even, if you notice, there was this guy in John 9 that was healed, right? I don't want to go to the story or read it. You notice something I found very important about that story. After that guy received his sight, what happened? Can anyone remember?
He went to the temple and the scribes threw him out.
The scribes threw him out. Now, when he was a blind man, he did not have a problem with the scribes and Pharisees. You understand something? Every light that comes will be attacked. It will be. You must ex your mind on that. Every light that comes will be attacked. In fact, the most annoying part was that he could not confirm that I was blind before, but now it was just jubilant. If they asked, so you are one of those people, I've been one of Jesus Christ. Just the way they'll tell you are one of God's people. It's true, this is it. By the way, you can fellowship anywhere. Remember, you are part of the body of Christ. It is not Winnipeg. You may be serving a responsibility here, but nobody is tying you to anything. Remove that mentality from your head. That anybody is your whatever pastor. Nothing like that in this place. So every light you receive, I believe you received a statement on Saturday, even something relating to this. Every light you receive will be persecuted. And it will come mostly from the systems of men. It's not because they hate you, but because the system is built to protect itself. Nobody hates you, you are fighting spirits. So them, you should even love them. They are sheep that the Lord wants to bring in. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we must expect that persecution. Remember, that is tied to the sufferings of the gospel. Remember, if you are not ready for these things, they will shake you when they come. You know, it's very, very wonderful when we've spoken about certain things. Just clean. Sometimes we need to check ourselves in line and see, okay, are we really ready? Are we really doing the right thing? The next statement says he must be what? And he will be what?
Slain.
He must be slain. There has to be a slain, my people. There is no, remember, it says if we suffer with him, what will glory with him? And when it comes to slain, what does that mean? Can anyone relate that to anything? What does that mean? Say he must be slain.
To be beheaded.
But I don't know what to say.
To be beheaded. If you're on this path, you will lose your life. It is not knowledge, it is no revelation. There are certain things you should be prepared. To lose your own life, your head, your mindset. The Lord said, he ministered something to me some time ago. He said, it will come to that point when you can truly say, I am a man under authority.
Hallelujah.
You understand what that statement is? You know, the centurion used it and he described, say, they say go. I say go and they go. That kind of thing. The Lord will become your head. And before you can come to that place, there must be a beheading. In fact, part of the sufferings will take you to the place where you'll be slain, you'll be killed. There's only so much a man can suffer before he loses his life. So he will shake you to that place where you will be beheaded. Remember, it says, except a seed, what? Fall down and dies.
It abided in you.
But if he dies, what happens? Our salvation experience came through death. This glory you are looking for will also come through death. Please, we must align ourselves with this truth. So if you are looking to live your life in a certain way, just keep them. You know, you are just coming every Sunday, we lead fellowship, we worship God, we speak in tongues, we prophesy. Sweet. But when things start to happen, we should not, especially in our personal lives, we should not be surprised by something. Lord said, he has told you these things so that you should be prepared. Some of you will be sent into some wonderful places here. We are not doing church here. This is not church thing we're doing here. The Lord has a plan. The Lord has a plan. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
For you to really understand death, what it means to die, one measurement, there are many other measurements I believe, where you can use to test yourself, is your offense level. How well can you take offense? Just let's bring it down to that. For you to understand death, let's look at the statement in Philippians. You say, Christ took no reputation of what? Himself. No angel. Said he did what? He took up the form of a servant. And that came. And I want us to picture this thing well. God, who was in heaven, became man in the flesh. A servant in the flesh. That same God who created man came under the subjection of the rules of man. Mm-hmm. He did not just do that. And I want us to picture this really well. God, who created man, stooped and man slapped. He did not end. He did not retaliate. This same God stood and laid his back, was scourged. No, scourging is different from flogging. Scourging, some people did not survive scourging in the slave regime. Your skin was peeled off. You can scourge, you just bleed to death. You can be scourged and you bleed to death. So what does that mean? Death. He said he became humble.
Unto death.
Even the death of the cross. That means we must follow that pattern. The death of the cross. Where your own head, when your own reputation does not matter. Remember, it started from the reputation. When you don't have a name. I woke up one night. Lord just placed a prayer on my heart. Because I made some request of him concerning my eternity. You can speculate what that means. But I made some requests. Just woke up and pray and say, help me to die, help me to die, to die. Can you pray that prayer?
Hallelujah.
Glory.
I knew because you have to see what you're saying. Because without death, there is no life. Spiritually speaking. In fact, it is a wisdom Satan has not been able to understand. Eli will say that he followed the way, he followed a wrong pattern. Say, instead of him to go down first, he wanted to ascend. It is a wisdom Satan has not been able. That is why Christ could defeat him on the cross. Because he brought himself to a place of a child. Naivety. So the Lord will walk you to a place where you are beheaded, where something you. Your head will not be there, not just with regards to will, no, but where you can take in, where you can become all things to all men without any reason of offense. Look at the workings that the Lord did. I was pointing this out to Daniel sometime. Remember when Paul was slapped by the high priest? Did you hear his reply?
Whitewashed.
Finish the guy.
Another translation says you corrupt hypocrites.
You corrupt hypocrites. That means at that point. You see something? With regards to Paul at that point in time, was zealous for the cross. In fact, he has already started his work in ministry. But the Lord was working. Remember, this thing is not something that will happen one day. But you have to desire it like you see. We have to desire it. Because without that, there is no glory. There is no glory. When the Lord gave me that understanding, I've learned to come to a point when I try to push myself, I try to check my ability to receive offense sometimes. I'm not perfect. The Lord is helping me. But when I look, it is not just offense and many other things. But that is one, when you can bring it to a very, very practical point. That is something you should be able to look at yourself. There was a certain time in my life when I would just, I wouldn't take that. I don't take that from anybody. I will not, sorry, it's my principle. I put it as nothing like that. You cannot do that. The Lord will break you. Say, I cannot know. Sorry, I cannot take that. It's something I have just, it is my way of thinking. Which way? I actually thought of naming that this way, but let's not, okay. But when you think of it, it will not work like that, especially in this way. But I want us to know it is a very serious thing we're talking about.
Yes.
It's a very, very serious. It is something I've come to accept, and this is what will happen. Because I have made certain demands of God. You should see where you're going to and make certain demands also. And you should desire that. If we can open to John 19, there's something we always miss there, which is very, very important. Read John 19, verse 4. Where did he speak to Peter about the death of the guy? Is it John 19 or 21? 21, I see. Have you? Verse 18. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou did what? Thou goest thyself, or guided thyself rather, and walkest without thou wouldest. But when thou was old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall get thee and carry thee to where thou would not. This he spake, signifying by what death he was, he should glorify God. So you see something, your death, he was? To glorify God. Remember, this is a pattern we are meant to follow. We must seek to die to self. The self nature cannot say, flesh will not glory in his presence. But if you see something in the scripture, say he will stretch forth his hand. What does that tell you? Free will. It is not just say you just be on your own. Sometimes I like to say this, that for those who the Lord have already assigned to this path, whether he will shake you, that hand you will do like this, you do it like this one day. Why? Because he has already aligned you, he has destined you for that path. So since it is a criteria, by fire, by force, you will fall into it.
Amen.
So the truth is this, death is a requirement, but also you have to desire it, to die to self. To die, and back then there was a beheading physically. But right now, it is a beheading of logic, your mindset. See, he's looking for where to lay his head. Remember, we're not speaking this as of today's matter. We're talking about things, some of the things we're talking about today may not really implement themselves immediately. But you must understand that since you have taken this decision to walk in this light, these are some of the things that will happen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you must understand this. Death is required. But why should you stay on this path? What is the motivation? What is this motivation? I always like to look at what Paul said. And we'll just go to that scripture. I'm not sure. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 17. And if you can read that, or someone can just read that.
For our
affliction. Continue.
Which is but for a moment, working for us is far more exceeding and eternal point of glory.
Eternal point of glory. No, that's it. Verse 17. It says, for our light afflictions. Speaking of the sufferings. Which are but for what? A moment. Are what? Not to be compared. Worketh for us a far much exceedingly weight of glory. For every suffering, whether it be suffering to obedience, that Lord is dealing with you on a certain thing, or be the sufferings of the persecutions, or the workings. Remember, even the fundamentally, the sufferings of the gospel is just the aspect of preaching the gospel, the hatred that comes with preaching the gospel. Fundamentally there. So there's a weight of glory concerning everything, every suffering that is revealed or that is going passed through, whether it be to obedience. When you take that step and you address those things that the Lord wants you to be obedient to, that is growing in grace. Say there's a weight of glory that shall be revealed. Brethren, there's a weight of glory for every suffering. There is a weight of glory. And even on the larger perspective, if we go back to Luke 9, it says, and they shall be raised up on what? And be raised up on the third day. The third day. Say, shall be raised up. Luke 9, verse 22. That's what we're going back to. What does this mean? Say Christ was raised. We sang the song today. Say after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he shall what? Raise us up. The third day is a day of completion. That means there's a third day for every weight. For every suffering, every slaying, everything you go through in Christ. There's a third day. There's a weight that is revealed. And also on the larger perspective, there's a third day at the appearing of Christ. There's a third day when we wake up. Remember, this is the path to glory. I wish you can understand this, that this same path that you choose to take on the third day of resurrection, you will arise with him. This is the path to the throne. This is the path to the throne. Because Christ died and he resurrected, went to on the third day. It is the path to the throne. There is a third day. Let's go to Revelation 20.
Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll start reading. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, and that old serpent, which was the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon the thrones, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were what?
Beheaded
for the witness of Jesus Christ, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the image of the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, what? 1,000 years. So we're talking about reigning with Christ 1,000 years. This is it. It is the third day. This is a reality that you must align your mindset with. It is a reality, especially when you are walking on this path. Remember, this is the path of the cross. This is the part men who have changed the world, gospel wives, walked. They did not walk. Go and look at the great revivals that have started. Men that shook the kingdom of God, or shook the kingdom of this world. It was not from any institutions or whatever. Well, let's not even focus on that. We must focus on our own selves and see, what do we want from this part? Remember, there are two things. What is expected of you? And what should you expect? That's what you should ask yourself. Am I walking according to the calling I have been called unto? Remember, this will lead you to glory. We're talking about being headed. There's a lot we can look about in this statement alone of Revelation 20. But I don't want to digress. I want us to reflect, because this is not just something to just come and talk about and just go like that. Reflect and see, what am I really calling for in this part? Because if you don't know, when things are being demanded, you will be burnt out, you will be tired. The truth is that no, you are not doing anything for any man in this place. You are strictly under the hand of God to attend. Remember, this is a reality. Kids, we have to reflect. We have to reflect on what we have been called and set ourselves in line and live according to this calling. Says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. It is a pattern. It is the same path we follow. It is something you should seek. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the dealings of God. Whatever the Lord is dealing on you right now, give heed to it. It is that thing. That is the threshold that needs to be reached for you to step into the next phase. Remember, sanctification occurs at the brazen lava. And that is what happens before you step into the holy place, which speaks of a different phase in grace. So let the Lord work out whatever is working out in you. I wrote some things now with regards to what are the things that are expected of us, since we have seen what we can expect on this path. Because, brethren, we should not joke with this. If you can rest your mind on this, nothing will shake you when things start to fall in place. There are things that are expected of us, and the Lord said some things. The first thing, just like the children of Israel, is faith. We must believe. In fact, what is your hope? It comes down to that. What are you looking to get? You must believe the reality of what has been told to you. Not just what has been told to you, but that which you have searched out for yourself and say, okay, this is what I can hold on to. This is what I am walking towards. These things must be a reality. You cannot be on this path and be living a double life, you are wasting your time. You can actually be the normal distance. There's no problem. But it says, he that hears the word and is deceiving himself. That means we have to walk toward on this path. The second one is obedience, which you spoke about. The third one is consecration. Mm. And consecration for you might be different from another person. There's the generic consecration and there's the dealing of divine constraint. There's the generic consecration and there's the dealing. There are certain things another person will do I cannot. In fact, when you are walking in a certain light with God, some things will just not be okay for you to do, even though they are good. That is your own consecration. But remember, consecration is separation, number one. And number four is self-denial. It is learnt by the grace of God. It is learnt. But then I want us to reflect. want us to reflect. Ask yourself if you are really walking this path the way you should be walking. You should take in these truths. And see what we have been called onto. Remember, this is the path that leads to glory. It has been so... The preaching of the cross has been so watered down, but the Bible says it is power. It is a path, my people. Just reflect. Let's speak to God to help us. To help us to walk this path diligently. To walk this path, yes. Remember, we spoke about focusing on Christ. It says, if your eyes be single, you will be filled with light. Let him help us to take out the things that need to be taken away.
Let us ask him to help us to lay aside every weight and sin that doeth so easily beset us. Weight of sin that doeth so easily beset us. That we might be able to run patiently the race that is set before us. For there is indeed a race that is set before us. Let us ask him to help us to put away every weight.
Examination will not be able to put away every weight.
dependence on God and know it in our hearts that it's only God that can help us. It's only God that can see us through this race that we are running. Familiar, not to ask him for help.